Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Boston has plenty of historic cemeteries. There's the Granary Burying Ground, where Paul Revere and Sam Adams are buried. There's King's Chapel Burying Ground, which holds the remains of John Winthrop, Massachusetts' first governor. And Copp's Hill Burying Ground, the resting place of Cotton Mather. But Boston has another graveyard of sorts that few people know about. It's located in the North End, in the basement of that gold-domed building near the entrance to the Callahan Tunnel. The city's archaeology lab is down there. It's a storage place for millions, literally millions, of artifacts dug up during local excavations. Old stone tools, cannonballs, Native American ceramics. It's also home to several hundred grave markers. Some of them are mostly intact, some are in pieces. Many are centuries old. So, in the spirit of Halloween, we asked Ellen Berklin to give us a tour and explain why these grave markers are here. Until a few weeks ago, Berklin was the city archaeologist, and now she's archaeologist for the State Parks Department.
And is this the lab we're in now?
Yes.
It's not a fancy modern lab.
No. With no budget, it's difficult to get one.
You also have headstones down here. Can we go look at some of these?
Yes.
So this one looks a little broken on the bottom, and it's just lying against a wall in this basement lab building. Why is this headstone out here and not on someone's grave?
This is one of the stones that fell prey to either human or natural factors. You have to think about it. These are outdoor museums, these burying grounds, and they are affected by freeze and thaw, acid rain, pedestrian traffic, and then sadly, some of them fall prey to vandalism. And the idea was to locate them, photograph them, document them, bring them back here for safekeeping until we could figure out exactly what we need to do with them.
Do you know which grave they belong to?
For some of them, yes. For many of them, no. During the Victorian time period and with the development of the lawnmower, a lot of the burying grounds were realigned, so there actually isn't any provenance.
How did the arrival of the lawnmower play in? Did gravestones need to be more evenly ordered for the lawnmowers
exactly,
to get through?
Exactly.
Oh. This one has this creepy-looking skull. Looks like it has wings coming out of it.
Yes.
Very old.
That's an early stone, and it is a skull, a winged skull. Actually, this one right there was located during the Central Artery Tunnel Project. It was found within a fill matrix.
And a fill matrix?
A fill deposit. I'm sorry.
So a pile of dirt that someone dug up and a gravestone was in there?
Yes. And it's kind of eerie because when you find a gravestone, you expect to find the remains of someone.
These headstones, these three, are just out in the open. Are there other headstones in this
lab?
Yes,
they're located here because they're very heavy and I couldn't move them.
Where are the other ones?
They're right around here. Why don't you follow me? This is like a maze.
So now we're sort of squishing our way through these metal shelves stacked with white boxes.
And packed with millions of artifacts that were excavated in Boston over the last 30 years. Let me show you this one here. This is really poignant. It's an amazing tribute.
This is a large one.
It's very large. Quite sad. It's a stone that is now in four pieces. It was vandalized approximately 5 years ago. This is the gravestone of Mr. George Robbins, and it's a very large, beautiful stone. He was a young man. He died at the age of 22, and he was helping the sick people out on Rainsford Island. But he passed away of an epidemic, no doubt contracted during his service, working with the sick people out on the island, and someone took it upon themselves to put up this very large, very beautiful, ornate stone that we'd love to see get back out there. Let's see. How do we do this?
So you're trying to piece it together like a puzzle?
Yeah.
Do you want me to get that largest piece?
You can push that around, like bring. Yeah, there you go. Push it towards me. This way. Yeah, pull it towards you. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Beautiful.
Pieces together perfectly.
It's four pieces. It's the entire stone.
So now we can read it.
He fell in early victim to the Boston epidemic. One friend mourned his exit, while the tears of strangers water his grave. It's just, it tells a story about a very difficult time and about someone who just dedicated his life to helping other people and succumbed to it.
Seems like some of these are very dear to you.
They are. Especially with the young children, it's, you know, just the innocence and the fact that the parents took the time and spent the money to remember to memorialize a baby or a stillborn child. This is perhaps my favorite gravestone. And it comes from King's Chapel. And it's actually a footstone.
Graves had headstones and
footstones? And footstones, yes. Similar to a bed. So you would have a footstone about 6 feet away from the headstone.
It looks like it has paper on it. It looks like paper's peeling off.
Yes. It's an oil painting that has been gessoed or glued onto the footstone.
This painting actually looks like an ad for an old horror story. It's these skeletons and this sunken-eyed guy with like cat eyes that are yellow and the moon. And
somebody's digging up the body. Snakes coming out of his head right there. So we suspect that it may have been some type of a lunatic club in the 1920s or 30s or some sort of occult society that came and put this carefully on the footstone. Yeah.
So this is not graffiti or doodling. This looks like actual artwork.
This is artwork that was applied to the stone 200 years after it was carved. Completely illegal, I mind you. You can't even, it's illegal to do grave rubbings in the city of Boston.
There are all these historic graveyards in Boston, but you come down here and it's almost like there's another secret or hidden graveyard here in the basement of this building.
Yes, and that's what's so great about archaeology is we dig these things, we dig this stuff up. These stones, these pieces of folk art, these beautiful documents that are one of a kind. These are unique individual pieces of folk art, some of the oldest folk art in North America.
Do you think this is where these headstones belong in this,
no.
in this old basement lab?
No. They certainly need to go back to the burying ground where they came from so that they can memorialize the people they were actually created for.
Ellen, thanks for the tour of the basement lab.
Welcome. My pleasure.
To see photos from our visit to Boston's archaeology lab, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. And we have an update. Earlier this hour, we talked with Andrew Phelps of WBUR about the arrest of a 16-year-old boy at Roxbury Community College. That arrest was captured on video and broadcast on YouTube, and now that video has raised questions about whether the police used excessive force. The Boston Police Department is conducting an internal investigation, and we've just learned that Suffolk County District Attorney Dan Connolly has assigned a senior prosecutor, Josh Wall, to take part in that police probe. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.